You know, as we look at the scriptures this afternoon, or just any time you look at them, as of late, and maybe I'm coming late upon the knowledge that I should have early on, but you know, when you look at the scriptures, early on in my attempts to speak, Elder Jones went and got me a Bible. He said, "I'm going to buy you a Bible." He says, "You need a different Bible than what you have." I said, "Are you going to buy me a different Bible?" He said, "Yes, but it'll say the same thing, but you need a different Bible." And when he gave me the Bible, I opened it up and I flipped through it. I said, "It's broke." I said, "It's not really what I wanted." He goes, "Yeah, but it's what you need." I said, "There ain't no red letter in it." He goes, "You're going to find out when you know who's talking, you can go buy a red letter Bible." Yeah. And then the other thing that come about in the last few years is the fact that it doesn't matter if you start in Genesis 1 or you finish up in Revelation. I can tell you who's talking. That's the Lord.
Amen.
That's the Lord. That's the Lord. Now, sometimes I'm not taken away from the fact that it's necessary to know who is talking. It is. But it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. It's precious. It's precious. You know, when we start looking at the Scriptures, you think about everybody under the sound of my voice. You think just for a second what you possess right now. I'm not talking about a heavenly home. Well, that is just precious. But here on this walk, in this life, you have this book. But you have something much greater. When you look in Luke in the last final chapters, you'll find a little bee verse. And this ain't where I'm staying, but it's where I'm launching from. The Lord be with us. In the 41st verse, it says, "They then opened he their understandings that they might understand the Scriptures." You ever picked up this Bible? You ever looked at Genesis 1 and read through just the common word and thought to yourself, "I know how the world was created"? Has that ever pondered you? You know what? When you look at this Bible and you start looking through and you start thinking about all the wonderful little jewels that are plucked here and there that you can just pull out, you say, "Well, I'm not a preacher. Sometimes I wonder if I am." You know what? You look and you start thinking about the prophecies of old, and the brother read it. And I want to just run to it just for a second. You start thinking about what this says in Hebrews 1. It says, "God, who at sundry times and diverse manner spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets." But brother, that's the Old Testament. That don't mean it ain't the Word of God. That's exactly what it is. And it says, "Had in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also made the worlds." That's the whole Bible. From the beginning to the end. You have we sit and we start thinking about that. You can find the whole plight of mankind, can't you? You can find the creation. You can find Adam's fall. You can find right up to the flood. You can see what the flood brought about. And you can start following mankind's history all the way down. And you know what? It's just one blunder after another. You ever saw that? It's just one big blunder after another. The highway is marked with little road signs, though. It's the prophecy of the coming of what? You know, it doesn't take very long to figure out that sin entered in the world and it had to be vanquished, doesn't it? It has to be done away with. I'm going to get there in a second, Brother Randy. It has to be done away with. It doesn't take long to figure out that man is just on a one-way trip to where? You know what? When we look at the Bible, we start seeing themes that run through it. There's one thing that I want to point out this afternoon, if we can, and that's the fruit. The fruit that is within the Bible. It doesn't take very long in the garden to see fruit, does it? It doesn't take very long that when you get over to Leviticus and the children of Israel have been let out of bondage and they're out in the desert and the law's coming down, they're telling about sacrifice. It says to give what? The sacrifice of the first fruit. The first fruit. The first fruit. That's what we're supposed to give. And you can look over different places in the Bible and you can find that fruit. I'd like to go just for a second this afternoon and let's talk about the vine and the fruit, if you would. If I can find it. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father's a husband. It says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, and he maketh it, that it may bring forth fruit." You know what? When you start looking down through this, you're going to find out that we're grafted in. You can roll Romans 6 and you can find that. We're grafted in. When I was a young man, younger than I am now, I went out to California, and Elder Frank Case is Karen's grandfather. And he had this backyard, and it was full of a vineyard. And he delighted in it. And he took me out there, and he says, "Look, Mark," he says, "don't you think that's just a start of the cluster of grapes?" Now, he had grapes that went down about that long. And I said, "Well, oh my, I've never seen grapes like this." And he said, well, it's a special ground. It's this, it's that. And he told me all about it. But he said, the number one thing is the stock of the grape. He started talking. He preached a whole sermon right there and there that he said, and the grape at the top was grafted into the root at the bottom. You've grafted in. It says, I am the true vine, the husband. Every branch that's in me beareth not fruit. It's taken away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purchases it and he may bring forth more fruit. You know what? That don't make much sense, does it? You know, I have seen people trim orchards. I've seen people go in and I've been in the orchard where they picked it, you know, the year before, and I was working in the orchard. And then sure enough, in the fall, when the sap went down the tree, walked along as a little boy, and the man climbed up the tree, he got a ladder, he started whacking off limbs. I thought, well, that limb right there, I think we had an apple on that little limb. Or I think we had a peach right over there. And now that here's this guy, he's lopping off places on that tree. That didn't make much sense.
Yeah, it does.
You know what? It says, a father who loves his son does what?
He chastens him.
You know, there's times in our life that there a little pruning occurs, doesn't it? A little pruning occurs. Why?
So there'll be more fruit.
You ever been pruned?
Oh, brother, I have. I've been pruned. Yes, I've been pruned.
Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. It says, abide in me and I in you. You know what? There's a few times in my life, more than I'd like to admit, that I got wandering right on down the road and everything seemed like a good idea. You ever had a good idea? You ever had a good idea?
Yeah, I've had a few of them.
A few good ideas. You ever taken a shortcut? I've now relayed them long cuts. Long cut. That's when you're not walking in what? In the way. It says, I being in the way. You ever seen that text that says, I being out of the way? Yes, brother. It's exactly what it means. I being in the way. And then I was on my way down here yesterday and we stopped at a restaurant. And of course, my mind was full of past experiences down here, coming down and visiting as a young man and everything else. My mind was on behind me. We sit down there at the restaurant, and I noticed the four men that are gathering around, they're all dressed different, and that bothered me a little bit. And all of them seemed to be from different walks of life. One had on blue jeans, one had on slacks, one had on a big giant electronic thing. I don't know what it was, brother, neither. Had on electronics. Another guy, he looked like maybe he was wearing golf clothes. And I thought, what is it that these people have in common? I don't know to this day what they had in common as a world, but I know this. When that boot hit that table, one of them reached out, and they all took each other's hands. Guess what? They prayed. I stopped just for a second what I was doing. I bowed my head. That's why I'm going to Oklahoma. Right there. Not for what's happened before. Not for the history. I'm looking to see what the Greeks asked for. What they asked for. Oh, they come right at the feast and what they say. We would see Jesus. That's what we're coming for. That's why when you look at what the fruit is that God gives to us little people, then when you start considering What's at hand? Not at stake, but what's at hand? Those Greeks came and said, we would see Jesus. You ever broken that down? We would. You know what it means? It means to raise anchor, literally, to follow. To follow. To raise anchor and follow. Do you want to see Jesus? Not only do I want to see him, but what else do you want to do? What should be our desire? If we want to dwell within the vine, if we want to be fruitful in Christ Jesus, not only do we want to see, but we should want to what?
Follow him.
You know, I'm horrible about something. That's praying. You know, someone called on me the other day, just this morning, and I thought, boy, instant in season, out of season. Brother Randy's pretty good at that. You know, pray. You know, what are you going to pray about, Mark? Instantly it hit me. What needs to be prayed about? You know, he gave me a little bit of outline. But what is it that we pray for? You know what it says? Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. He says, abide in me and I in you, as the branches cannot bear fruit of itself. It abideth in the vine. No man can ye except abide in me. You know what it says plainly? It says that unless you abide in him, you won't produce any fruit. No fruit. Now, I kind of led you down a path, because you can go over to Psalms and you can find out that you can produce fruit. It's just the wrong kind. It says the fruit of the evil. The fruit of the evil. I'm afraid I've grown some of that. You know what else we get wrapped up in about fruit? You know what? I've got a son who has a piece of property that dad was going to buy and restore, and he decided that he needed to move out, and he bought it. And we've worked over and over on that tree, and I've tried to salvage something that's in the front yard. It's a pear tree. And you know what? There's something about that pear tree that I just like. Every year it blooms, and then it sits there and blooms, and the blooms fall off. It loses its beauty. And then it starts producing pears. You know how long it takes to produce that fruit? About a year cycle. How long does it take to produce some fruit in the Spirit? Let me tell you something. I came down to Oklahoma years ago. This building didn't exist. You're talking about fruits? This building is a fruit of your labors. It's a fruit of your desires to serve the Lord. You're not to worship this building, and I don't think for a second you do. But it is the fruits of the Spirit of God working here. That's what it is. I know you don't worship it, but it's a fruit. You know, you look in your life and you set yourself and you say, you know what? Dad raised me a certain way. You sit down and look at your little kids. Sorry, Mark. You sit down and you look at your little kids. You think, how much time do I need to put into that? You're talking about what the brother talked about this morning. You know what? You better invest in it. That's walking in the way. That's walking in the way. He said, if I abide in you and you in you, the branch cannot bear fruit except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except abide in me. You know what? Unless we abide in him, unless we are grafted in, unless we are drawing from his strength, it's of what? What did the old king say? He goes, if it be of God, yeah, well, who's going to stop it? Who is it? You find the other scripture says, if God be for us, who can? When David was talking to God, he said, should we go up? He said, no. Then he said, should we go up? He said, yes. That's us. That's us. That's us abiding in the way, abiding in the vine. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. In that abideth in me, I in him. The same bringeth forth how much fruit? It says, much fruit. Much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Nothing. You know what? That's a helpless state, isn't it? You know what? You can't get it done, period. That's what that means. You're not going to work your way. I know you know this, but you're not going to work your way to heaven. That's not happening. And I know that's the plain fact of eternal. But let's just focus just for a second on our walk here in life. You know what? Someone asked me the other day, how much planning have you made for retirement? Well, a little bit. Well, have you considered this? Oh, there must have been 300 things. You know what? I need to plan for some things. But you know what I found out as I get a little older? I don't need to plan too far down the road, because something just might change. How many times have you thought about changing what you're going to do in your life, and you simply said to yourself, you know what, this is what, here we go, I am going to do. I am going to do this. This is what I am going to do. Does it work? No, it don't work. As the old boy said, that dog don't hunt. It says, if a man abideth in me, he is cast. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them up and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. They're burned. Let me tell you something. In a literal sense, have you ever been gathered up? I have been. God forbid. But I
And when the old brother says, we love you, but you need to look this way. Getting pruned. Getting told. It's done in kindness. But you know what? Too often, we're too shy to do that. I had someone at my workplace that was talking about disciplining people. She said, if you don't feel uncomfortable when you talk to someone about their performance, you're not doing them a service. Sometimes that's in the Lord's church. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what he will, and he shall be done. It shall be done to you. You know what? What word is that? It says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I will write my laws upon your hearts. Are you equipped? Put on the full armor of God. We're not defenseless in abiding in this way, are we? We're not defenseless. We sit and think to ourselves, sometimes we curl up. I do. Sometimes I curl. I go to work and I go to war sometimes. And then I come to church, I sit and think, well, I'm just defenseless standing here and I don't really have anything to do. And I'm just supposed to stand here and just wait. Wrong. You're supposed to ask what you're supposed to go do. You're supposed to look to Him and say, what is it you want me to do? Where is it that I'm supposed to go? What is it that is my will? And I'm not talking to the preachers. What is it that you want me to do? I'm going to abide in you and there's going to be much fruit. Where am I supposed to go? And then it says, herein is my Father's glory that ye bear what? Much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. You're going to be an example unto who? It says, let your light so shine that others might see. Others might see. See what? You? No. God in you. Sorry, brother. Amen. God in you. What is it that you want them to see? You know what? I know a brother who, I don't know if Elder McCarthy is here, Senior Elder McCarthy is here, but I remember him coming to Pleasant Grove and preaching a sermon. You're talking about stick your feet out and it hurt. He said, if you were arrested this afternoon, could we convict you of being a Christian? But when he got done, I wasn't too sure I could be convicted. I'm not sure there's enough evidence sometimes. It says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. I give you a new commandment. What is it? That you love one another. That you love one another. That's tough, isn't it? You know what? You only love children of God though, right? That way you can discriminate a little bit. If I'm stepping on someone, I'm sorry. I'm stepping on Mark. You know, who is it that you love? I love you all. But you know what God said to do? Love. He didn't say to pick and choose, did he? Didn't say to pick and choose. You know what? I use this example a lot if you're up home, but you're not there, so you get to hear it for the first time. I was driving to work every day, and I was passing this little bee church. It had like a little alcove about the size of that. And I went by there one day, and there's a little man standing there. I knew he was a homeless guy. And he kind of looked at me, and I looked at him, and we made eye contact. And for lack of anything else to do, kind of waved at him. You know what he did? I waved back. And you know what? Over the next 6 to 8 months, every morning, when I got to that red light, he's standing there. Every morning. You know what he'd do? As soon as he saw my truck coming, he'd come out of his little shelter there. Sometimes snow was up. You know what? He got until he waved to everybody. He waved at everybody. Hey, we knew it. We called him the guy that waved at 19th and Woodland. People started thinking to themselves, you know, I didn't even know his name. You know what? No one ped checked him. No one even knew who he was.
I love that guy. Never told him. Never stopped him. Never checked on him. That's a sin. It says we're to love one another. It says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love. Not my will, but thy will, Father. It says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. Are you full of joy? How many times have you sat and thought to yourself, well, I'm just down and out. I do this all the time. Is there not a cause? Look at, listen to David. Is there not a cause? You know, I set a point numerous times. I sit and say, well, it's just all done. There's no use in trying anymore. Is there not a cause? And we look at what the fruit of the Spirit is, just for a second, and I'll hush. You know what? He showers down upon us His gifts. He showers down upon us His gifts. He showers down upon us the fruits of the Spirit. When you go to Galatians 5, get down to 22, it'll tell you what they are. I'm telling you what, if you can walk around and think about this 365 days a year, every morning you get up and you think to yourself, all the things that have been done to you and yours. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. I asked someone one time, what's the greatest thing in the Bible? What is the greatest thing in the Bible? It's the Savior's love. It's the Savior's love. And then it says, is love, it's joy. What does it say about that joy? It is joy that is unspeakable.
Unspeakable.
Have you ever been happy? Have you ever had so much joy that you just couldn't even hardly stand yourself? I have. I've been blessed in that. That's how we should be all the time, isn't it? Isn't that how we should be? Shouldn't we be to the point that we're so enriched with God's joy in our hearts? And then he says, peace. Peace. You know what? Through every war, we always pray for what? Peace. Peace. I want to stop just for a second and digress. You know, during the first Desert Shield event, this is documented, maybe in Life magazine. And during the first Desert Shore deal, when we went over to the Middle East, did you know that in Kansas City, Missouri, I could drive around on evenings in the inner city and the church houses were full? This country hadn't been in a war. We hadn't sent troops into battle since Vietnam. You know what? We were concerned, weren't we? I was concerned. I had friends who got called up and sent. I knew it was going to be a battle. And you know what? They prayed and they prayed and they prayed in Kansas City. And I think they did in Oklahoma too, because this reporter in here said, no time since World War II have more churches met to pray for the troops than the history of the United States since World War II. Guess what? You know, the bean counters in the U.S. Army, they figure out how much a battle is going to cost. They can tell you almost down to the man how many is going to die. They have their equations. You know what? It was wrong. It is wrong. Peace. That we might have peace in the churches, in the land, in thoughts, in unity of thoughts. It's scriptural, brother. It's scriptural. And it says long suffering. Uh-oh. How long do you travail with somebody? How long do you go, okay, I'm done with you. I'm just done. I'm not going to trial with you anymore. I'm not going to labor with you anymore. I'm tired of your faults. I'm tired of what you're doing. Really? If we're walking in Christ, it says we're going to be given and become what? Long-suffering. Aren't you glad He is?
Yes.
Aren't you glad He is?
Yes.
I'm thankful. Because you know what?
I'm a contrary soul. I'm mule-headed. This afternoon I said I was stubborn, and it's all true. It's true. We are. At least I am. And then it says, gentleness. 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 You know, we as men need to demonstrate that in front of our sons. Yeah, we do. We need to disseminate it. We need to demonstrate it in the workplace in front of other young men. Yes. You need to tell people to be gentle. We need to be gentle. You need to tell people when they bring up stories, you need to share your experiences, how God has been gentle to you, and you in turn were gentle to someone else. And it says, goodness. You know, every time I see the word good in the Bible, I always think about the story, that the little 30-minute show that I watched on TV, and goodness gracious, they prayed on TV. Oh my goodness. God is good. That's what he said. God is good. Romper room. They prayed before they ate. Imagine that on TV. He says the goodness. And then lastly but not least, it says faith. Faith. We're saved by our faith. And then it says meekness. That's a tough one too. Meekness. Meekness. You know, we can go through the Bible with each and every one of these, and I'm taking a little bit too much time. We can go through the Bible with every last one of these, and you can come up with the scripture, can't you? How about the man that went to the wall and wailed in public? The other man went in the closet. Who got the reward? Who received the reward? Meekness. And then it says temperance. Ow. You ever been tempered? You ever prayed for patience? You know what? I was just goofy enough, and I'll use that word, to pray for patience because I thought that I needed to pray for patience since college. I thought, you know what? I have just got to the point that I'm so impatient. I've got to the point that I got a little bit of an anger problem. I'm pretty quick to go to war. And I need to have patience. And I can remember in my college room at night, looking out the streetlight outside of my dorm room there at North Ellis in Warrensburg, Missouri, saying, God, give me patience. Didn't know what I was asking for. Patience worketh tribulation. That's the first step. That's the first step. And then it says, temperance is against such there is no law. It says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of lust. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk therein. Or it says, walk in. Let me give you a direct quote. It says, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. You know, when we talk about this fruit and we look at the fruit, we can't step down without looking to 1 Corinthians 15 and talking about the fruit. The fruit. The fruit. Why is it that the Greeks said we would see Jesus? Why is it right after that Jesus goes in and we're not going to take the time and say, unless a corner falleth in the ground and dieth, it beareth no fruit. Why is it? But it says, now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits. There's an S on that. First fruits. Of them that slept, not died, slept. You want a reference for that? Go back to Jesus when they said we need to go to Jerusalem. Lazarus is sick, and he said he sleepeth. And the disciple says, if he sleepeth, he doth well. And then Jesus said, he's dead.